الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. The topic of discussion, as you guys are aware, my brothers and my sisters, is about the suffering that is taking place in Palestine. It is a topic that causes the hearts to bleed. It's affecting any individual who has Iman in his heart. A topic, my brothers and my sisters, that is extremely dear to our hearts. However, it's important that we look at this issue in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can contribute to the betterment of what is happening, and on a personal level, and likewise, what we can do as a community, as a society, right? And there's a lot to mention, and it's a controversial topic. So before I start, it's important, my brothers and my sisters, that I read out the following in order to protect everyone, to give you some sort of insight with regards to what we as civilians, citizens, are entitled to with regards to our beliefs, what we can say, and so on and so forth. Following the Charlie Hebdo attacks in January 2015. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember this, right? The Charlie Hebdo attacks, but some of you guys are still extremely young. Gen Zs, huh? طيب. Following the Charlie Hebdo attacks in January 2015, numerous politicians and leaders around the world boldly asserted that their nations will never give up freedom of speech. And I want to make it very, very clear, my brothers and my sisters, from the onset, from the get-go, that I, as Abu Taymiyyah, I'm not here to incite violence. I'm not here, my brothers and my sisters, to advise anyone to do that which is not in line with the law of the land. I'll make that very, very clear. I am not a hate preacher. Does anyone know me as a hate preacher? No. Right? I'm a peaceful imam, right? I spread peace, wahakada. However, it's important that we mention this, right? Like I said, so that everyone is aware and everyone has insight with regards to what they are entitled to, wahakada. So they all came together and they boldly asserted that their nations will never ever give up freedom of speech. Likewise, they affirmed something called the right to offend. This is what they concluded with. And even then, I'm not encouraging anyone to offend another human being. But this is what they came out with, and I am just quoting. Likewise, they affirmed the right to offend in a free society. David Cameron, the UK Prime Minister at the time, stated, "It is very important in our countries that we have a freedom of expression." He then says, "You are allowed to offend people." This is what David Cameron is saying. Who is currently, does anyone know his position? Ahsantum, Foreign Secretary. He said, "It is very important that our countries, or in our countries, that we have a freedom of expression. You are allowed to offend people," he says. "You might not agree with something. As often as I see things I do not agree with, but I believe in the freedom of speech and the rule of law." These types of remarks, my brothers and my sisters, were made by politicians in order to defend the right of French cartoonists who depicted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a prophet who is revered. At the time, 1.5 billion Muslims. However, at this moment in time, there are how many Muslims in the world?
2 billion.
2 billion Muslims. They try to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it only works against them and in the favor of the Muslims. The numbers have increased since then, even though they try to portray the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner that upset the Muslims at the time. always looking for ways to blemish, to tarnish the image, the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a prophet at a time who was revered by 1.5 billion Muslims spread across the globe through immoral, deliberately provocative and insightful pornographic caricatures, right? And we know what happened. And as we always say, we condemn violence, but at the same time, for us to just watch the most greatest individual to ever walk on the face of this earth being depicted in this way is something that is truly unacceptable. In his 9th January 2015 article titled, "We Must Always Be Free to Criticize Ideas Like Islam," in the Telegraph, Nick Clegg — who was Nick Clegg? Does anyone remember? Huh? Naam. Right? He was then the Deputy Prime Minister. He wrote, "This is the bottom line. In a free society, people have to be free to offend each other." And for the second time, or maybe the third time, I'll make it very, very clear. I am not encouraging anyone to offend any other human being. However, my brothers and my sisters, this is what they kept on regurgitating in order to defend their rights to offend Islam and the Prophet that is followed and revered by all of these Muslims across the globe. He said, "This is the bottom line. In a free society, people have to be free to offend each other. There is no such thing as a right not to be offended. You cannot have freedom unless people are free to offend each other." And then he goes on and on and on and says, he also cited the actor Rowan Atkins, "The freedom to criticize ideas, any ideas, even if they are sincerely held beliefs, is one of the fundamental freedoms of society." Nick Clegg goes on to write, "The freedom that allows someone to criticize an idea, even a religious idea, is the same freedom that allows others to promote it." Right? That allows others to promote it. We are all free to agree or disagree, believe or disbelieve, support or oppose. That we in Britain can do so usually in a spirit of tolerance makes us a beacon for the world's oppressed. Right? إلى آخره. Then you get the discussion, my brothers and my sisters, of LGBTQ, right? There is the controversial, constant discussion that keeps going on and on and on and on. To conclude this point, my brothers and my sisters, I'll quickly mention the following, right? This belief that Muslims have is not something that is exclusive to them. For those who didn't know, my brothers and my sisters, this, in fact, this belief is a mainstream religious idea amongst Muslim, Torah Jews, and Christians, based upon a mainstream reading of scripture. For example, over 230 Jewish rabbis, academics, and mental health professionals signed a declaration titled "The Torah Approach to Homosexuality." And I'm just quoting, my brothers and my sisters, Abu Taymiyyah doesn't have his own ideas and views and opinions, right? You know, my brothers and my sisters, take this from me. There is a three-step strategy that is used to strip us of our Muslim identity. You have non-Muslims today, and I've done a lot of research on it, right? You're probably wondering why I'm still walking around freely, even though I've been addressing a lot of the modern day ideologies, right? Whether it may be feminism, liberalism, the rainbow team — they tried to shut down some of my programs in different places, but they always fell flat on their faces. Because I am not a hate preacher. And I just quote, right? I call to what stands for our Muslim identity. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Exactly what the scripture states. Where did I get this idea from? Have you guys heard of an individual called Jacob Rees-Mogg? A couple of years ago, he did an interview with Mr. Piers Morgan, that some of you guys may know about, right? On the Good Morning Show. This is before he had this show that he currently runs. He is interviewing Jacob Rees-Mogg, who is a conservative MP, and constantly pressing him, what is your view on homosexuality or same-sex marriages? Every single time, he would say, according to the teachings of the church. And then Piers, the kind of individual he is, keeps asking him, but what is your opinion? Because it doesn't matter what my opinion is. According to the teachings of the church, this is not how you structure your life. This is Piers. This is Jacob Rees-Mogg, brothers and sisters. Right? A white Christian man who is part of the Conservative Party, sits in Parliament, non-apologetic about what he believes, doesn't bite his tongue, right? Calls to what he stands for, my brothers and my sisters. But in a way that will not land him into hot water. So my brothers and my sisters, if you have non-Muslims, whether they may be Christians or the Torah Jews that I just spoke about, who are holding on to their values and their morals, what is stopping us from being able to quote what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned? Right? So the three-step strategy that I quickly mentioned, what is it? Three words, my brothers and my sisters. Three words. Number one, desensitize. Number two, jam. Number three, convert. What does that mean? What does desensitize mean? Imagine now, my brothers and my sisters, I stand on the pulpit every single day and I repeat the exact same thing. If you disagree with me, right? If you disagree with me, maybe on the first day, but eventually, you know what will happen? Eventually what will happen is you will become very sympathetic to what I'm saying, or you will see where I'm coming from, right? This is what will happen, meaning repeating the same thing time and time and time again. Eventually you will see yourself subconsciously, if you don't accept, at least seeing my perspective. This is a bit of psychology as well. Does everyone get that? And this is exactly what we see happening, us being bombarded constantly with information, right? Number two, my brothers and my sisters, jam. What does jam mean? Not that which you eat, right? Jamming tactics are used to silence you. The moment, my brothers and my sisters, you go against the establishment or what the mainstream position that they want you to embrace, they will begin to cancel you. They will start calling you all sorts of names. You are a bigot, you are a racist, you're anti this and you're anti that. When in reality, my brothers and my sisters, you are standing up for that which has been considered morality within Western establishments for as long as you can think. And then number three, my brothers and my sisters, what is it? Convert. They will look for every way possible to convert you now in accepting that which they are trying to make mainstream. Right? Once upon a time, my brothers and my sisters, the schools were very different to what they are today. A lot of us, when we grew up in schools and we saw someone walking a little bit weird, huh? Everyone would start calling him all sorts of names. Right? Some of the elders are smiling. They know what I'm talking about. But now, the child, my brothers and my sisters, that is being bombarded with information, right? If he sees otherwise, he is seen as someone that is what? Out of touch with reality. And this is extremely dangerous. Extremely, extremely dangerous, my brothers and my sisters. Because it could reach a point where this child now begins to believe that these things are actually permissible or halal. Right? Which is worse than actually what? Practicing the sin itself. Let me ask you guys a question. When it comes to committing a zina, is that halal or haram? طيب, it's haram, صح? The person now who practices a zina, right, does haram things with his girlfriend. He might call Abu Taymiyyah and say, please make dua for me. Right? I'm in this very problematic situation. My heart is spiritually dead, right? I feel empty inside. Make dua for him. He knows he's wrong, but he's still committing the sin. Which one is wrong? Which one is worse, should I say? To believe that it's halal or to be carrying out that sin? To believe it's halal. Why? Because you are making something that is what? Haram, halal, or halal, haram. And this is istihlal. This is far worse than actually practicing the sin. Now you do the maths, my brothers and my sisters, with regards to what we see happening right before our eyes. And this, my brothers and my sisters, what I have been fearing and I still continue to fear. For our children that are in these surroundings, right? This is why I've been telling the brothers and sisters a lot, right? It may well be a good idea to start thinking from now where we can maybe in the future move to with our children. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْ. That doesn't come a time except that the time that comes after is always worse. Right? Maybe 10 years down the line, you will be in a better position than the one who's only woken up then. How many elders, subhanAllah, from the Muslim community who were in positions of authority teaching religion, one by one I started seeing them leave, moving back home and settling there. And Allah Azza wa Jal opened doors for them. I'm not going to say it's wajib for you now to immigrate, but it may well be a good idea to start thinking about somewhere that I can practice my religion with my children so much more freely. Right? So I had to go through that, my brothers and my sisters. So the lecture today, my brothers and my sisters, what I've done is I've split it into three. When it comes to the tests, the tribulations, the hardships, the difficulties that our brothers and sisters in Palestine are going through, right? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing this to take place? These are questions maybe that we are thinking of, that we are struggling to find answers to, right? Number two, can someone's actions affect another? Number three, components that cause or contribute to the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. SubhanAllah, I've already been speaking for 25 minutes. We started at 2:15, right? I think we started at 2:20. Sheikh Shafiq said, I only have an hour. Huh? SubhanAllah, just a disclaimer, took 20 minutes. It's unfortunate that we have to go through it, but I think everyone got the point, right? Would you agree that it's extremely important?
Yes.
Abu Taymiyyah taking inspiration from Christians such as Jacob Rees-Mogg, wallahi, helped my da'wah a lot. May Allah Azza wa Jalla guide him to Islam. And like I said, for the third or fourth time, I'm not here to incite violence. I'm only here to quote the scripture, right? And that which has historically taken place. So the first, my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to the tests and tribulations and hardships, putting that into perspective. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making them go through all of this? And we can maybe what split this into two. Number one, what are the wisdoms behind it? And number two, my brothers and my sisters, right? What can one walk away with the test that he experiences? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, my beloved brothers and sisters, he says the following, and this is what extremely powerful. Right? مَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ اتَّسَعَ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ ضِيقٍ. Whoever learns about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, he will be relieved of all of his stresses. I'll say that again. Whoever learns about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, he'll be relieved of his stresses. Right? You know the hardships and the difficulties that one goes through? Just knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, right? It will help you in a way that you can't imagine. Right? This is why, my brothers and my sisters, I always tend to bang on about, learn who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Learn about the tawheed. Learn about your belief, your aqeedah, of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Right? Why is it, my brothers and my sisters, that when Our parents say to us, Allah said in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it falls on deaf ears. And sometimes as parents, we may give out these commandments and these prohibitions. We tell them wear hijab, and they have no idea who she is wearing the hijab to. Or he has no idea who he's praying to. He knows nothing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you guys agree, my brothers and my sisters, that we respect people, we respect them based on what we know about them? Right? Why is there certain people in society that we respect more than others? Lish, why? Because of what we know about them. Is there anyone here that is engaged? It's marriage season. Huh? Anyone here that is engaged, my brothers and my sisters? Put your hand up. Say mashallah when he puts his hand up. Don't give him your nazar. Right? Huh? Anyone, brothers and sisters? I like to mention this example a lot, because it makes things fall into perspective. Anyone? Let's just say we have a brother who found Bushra. Right? You have Muhammad who found Bushra. Out of all the women that he could have picked, he picked Bushra. Why? Why did he pick her out of every other woman that he came across? Lish. Because of all the things that he came to know about her. Agreed? He found out that she has good deen, religion. Her etiquettes are good. She treats her parents nicely. Right? And then he's gone ahead with it. Later on, he finds out that she fasts in the day and she prays in the night. I've hit the jackpot. He even what? Increases in love. May Allah give you all a woman like that. Right? And if your women aren't like that, may Allah make them like that. Or even better. Say ameen. What are you guys scared for? Because of your sister is in a... Huh? Shahid min al-kalam. My brothers and my sister, we respect. And we begin to what? Appreciate people because of what we know about them. All of these characteristics and qualities that you come to learn about people. Not that I'm trying to compare Bushra to Allah. No, absolutely not. What I'm trying to say is, my brothers and my sisters, right? Because we don't know anything about Allah Azza wa Jal, don't expect your heart to become activated when you hear a commandment. Right? The only source of knowledge that we have of Allah is what? His names and His attributes that we took from the Quran and Sunnah. One of these attributes that I want to stand over today, my brothers and my sisters, right, is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, you find a lot. Innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and is what? All-wise. In Surah Yusuf, you will find it multiple times. Innahu huwa al-alim al-hakim. Surah Yusuf that is filled with trials and tribulations that the father Ya'qub and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Why does Allah keep mentioning Al-Alim and Al-Hakim? Allah is all-knowing and He's also what? All-wise. Right? Because everything that takes place, my brothers and my sisters, don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ مَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the deceptive eye and that which you hide within your heart. Allah knows that. Right? Something so small you may think Allah Azza wa Jal is fully aware of it. Right? When you go through those troubles and those hardships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, chooses this for you based on His divine wisdom. It may not make sense to you, my brothers and my sisters, at time, but how many a time have we been in a situation or in a circumstance, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Sah? Especially when it comes to marriages. You desperately want Bushra. You do everything in your power now to get married to her. Everything you can possibly do. But it just doesn't seem to be happening. Right? And then you sit around feeling sorry for yourself. She's the only woman that can bring me happiness. Skin, come on, brothers. Right? Stop simping in. Huh? And get on your two feet. Right? And likewise for my sisters. You think he's the only guy in the world that will be able to give you that happiness and that satisfaction and that contentment that you're crying out for. Years go by, my brothers and my sisters. Years. And then subhanAllah, right? Allah blesses you with a husband or a wife with characteristics and qualities that the mind couldn't imagine. Now you say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have this today. Agreed? Yeah. Right? It's something that I can personally relate to, right? I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to as well. thinking that certain things were the best for you. But then later on, it began to make sense. And a lot of the time, my brothers and my sisters, it could be that it doesn't make sense to you. Like you're looking at what's happening in Palestine, my brothers and my sisters, and you're thinking to yourself, and some non-Muslims are actually saying this, right? And it's creeping into the doctrine of Muslims. This is why whenever I cover the issues of Al-Qadr, the predestination, I take a lot of time out to put things into perspective from this angle. Are you brothers and sisters with me?
Yeah.
Mm. The point that I want you guys to walk away with, my brothers and my sisters, right, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create anything that is purely evil. Tayyib Kaif. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, by the way, who passed away in the year 728. I'm Abu Taymiyyah, he's Ibn Taymiyyah, 700 years ago. Right? Over 700 years ago, and he uttered statements, wallahi, that will be a huge benefit for us in today's day and age. Directly extrapolated and deduced from none other than the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and his sunnah, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Right? He says, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَخْلُقُ شَرًّا مَحْضًا. There is nothing that is purely evil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Nothing. In fact, that which you may consider as evil, it is subjective. طيب. Let's put the issue of Palestine now into perspective. Young, innocent children, right, are being butchered and massacred. What good is in this? You're probably thinking, huh? Can anyone put this into perspective for me? Is there really any good from it that will come out of this situation? Huh?
They might get martyred.
They might get martyred. Jazakallah khair. Anyone else? You know, my brothers and my sisters, those innocent Muslims, right, that are having to pay for something that they didn't do. Right? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have waiting for them? Insha'Allah ta'ala, nothing other than the highest part of Al-Jannah. Right? Sooner or later, my brothers and my sisters, we are going to depart from this world, agreed? Whether it may be just a normal death, he didn't wake up, maybe what, a car crash, and they are in a situation where they are able to acquire the best of endings, and that is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaheed. Right? The way you get killed, my brothers and my sisters, is just a means. Someone stabbed, someone shot, car crashed. But when your time is up, my brothers and my sisters, your time is up. It's written down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. He chooses martyrs from amongst you. Right? This world that we live in, my brothers and my sisters, that is filled with hardships and difficulties. Many people begin to wish, right, that I could just leave, khalas, and be at peace, and I can rest. The trials and tribulations of life are becoming too overwhelming for me to deal with. This is how a lot of people think. Let's look at it from a different perspective, my brothers and my sisters. This whole Palestinian situation that happened, how many millions of Muslims, how many millions of non-Muslims ended up opening the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Wallahi, I saw, right, white ladies, white men, right, non-Muslims holding up the Mus'haf like this, I'm going to read the whole Quran. Them being amazed and astonished at the tawakkul, the tawheed, the monotheism, the reliance that some of these Palestinians have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it that they're so patient, right? What are they relying on? What is giving them this inspiration for them to continue like this, with so much forbearance? Where is this coming from? None other than the fact that they strengthen their belief, my brothers and my sisters, with the commandments, right, that is mentioned in none other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, how many videos did I come across? Non-Muslims, you've got a blonde lady holding what? The Quran like this. I'm going to read it. Right? It's shocking images, my brothers and my sisters. Something you would have maybe not ever expected. Like also my brothers and my sisters, not so long ago I was reflecting on the whole Twitter, X, right? In comparison to Instagram and Facebook. As you guys are aware, my brothers and my sisters, you go on Instagram or Facebook and you try to upload certain videos or certain types of content, they will shadow ban it. And they'll start putting restrictions, right, on your social media applications. Subhanallah, Elon Musk comes out of nowhere and decides to buy Twitter, then changes it to X. A lot of that which we were able to see, where did it come from, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? Was it on Instagram mainly, or was it on Twitter? It was mainly what? Huh? Being circulated on Twitter. It reminded me of when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bi rajulin fajir." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perhaps bring aid to the religion and assistance to it through a man that is rashid. He may use him, Allah Azza wa Jal uses an individual now to bring to the Muslims that which is going to be beneficial for them. Because our brothers and sisters being butchered, being attacked, right? Every year a video would go around of them, right, charging into Masjid al-Aqsa and humiliating our brothers and sisters. And then you have Muslims debating, no, no, this was from maybe what, 10 years ago. This was from 5 years ago. Nobody can tell as to what is exactly happening right now. But this time round, subhanAllah, Twitter was filled with it. We were able to see the reality on the ground, right? Being updated constantly. Everything happens for a reason. This is what we need to walk away with, my brothers and my sisters. Everything happens for a reason. Whether you see the good in it or not, right? We fail, my brothers and my sisters, to accept that our intellects are limited. This is very, very important, brothers and sisters. This doesn't make sense, we turn around and say, right? How can this be? It doesn't fall in line with my wonderful intellect and the mind that I have been gifted with, right? It becomes deluded with this creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, has put on this earth. My brothers and my sisters, can any of you guys see that which is happening on the other side of Huddersfield? Forget about the other side of Huddersfield, outside. Can anyone see it? Can you hear that which is happening? Right? Can you smell that which is happening outside of the masjid? No, you can't. Right? These body parts are all limited. Why do you fail to accept that your intellect is limited as well? You've accepted all of these other body parts are limited. Why not the intellect? Right? So everything happens for a reason. At times we hear people saying, you know, this loving God, right? He's meant to be all merciful. How is he allowing all of this to take place? Taib, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful and loving, there's another side to him as well, right? There's another side to him, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadeedul iqab, right? He will be stern and you will endure a painful torment and punishment if you don't do what he tells you to do. Right? So with everything that is happening now and what Israel are doing now to our Palestinian brothers and sisters, and then someone only uses the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Doesn't someone need to deal with them as well? Right? They just live this life butchering and massacring all of these innocent young Muslims, my brothers and my sisters, and they're just going to get away with it? You understand now why Jannah and hellfire has been created? Wallahi, sometimes when I look at these images, I think to myself, makes sense, right? For anyone who's looking for sense. People behaving in this manner and there's not going to be any accountability. Come on, ya jama'ah. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla is just merciful and is loving and he's going to put all of them in al-Jannah? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all loving. He's all merciful. Filled with it, my brothers and my sisters. But at the same time, he's just. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And Allah Azza wa Jalla does not oppress anyone. That's from his attributes, my brothers and my sisters. Hey, my brothers and my sisters, I have some of the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, who who passed away in the year 751, and also Ibn Taymiyyah, who passed away in the year 728. Right? Some very, very powerful, profound, right, statements with regards to why one may be tested, right, and the hardships that are chosen for him. And things will now begin to fall into perspective, right? Remember what I said earlier, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ, whoever learns about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, اِتَّسَ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ ضِيقٍ, he will be relieved of all of his distresses. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says the following, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا سَقَاهُ دَوَاءً مِنَ الْإِبْتِلَاءِ وَالْإِمْتِحَانِ عَلَى قَدْرِ حَالِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا هَذَّبَهُ وَنَقَّاهُ وَصَفَّاهُ أَهَّلَهُ لِأَشْرَفِ مَرَاتِبِ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ عُبُودِيَّةِ. He says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for an individual, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? سَقَاهُ. This term سَقَا, my brothers and my sisters, you will use it when what? Huh? Does anyone know? Saqa, where did it come from? Yasqi. You know when you're watering something, right? This term is used. You're watering a plant or you're quenching the thirst of another. You will say to someone, go and do saqi of so-and-so or isqi. Right? Here, this is the term that he used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, will quench him. Maybe that's the best word to be using. Or to water him now with al-ibtila wal-imtihan, with tests, examinations, trials and tribulations, ala qadri halih, in accordance to the kind of person that he is, or how he's living his life. Hatta idha hadhabahu wa naqqahu wa saffahu ahala. And then my brothers and my sisters, when he's become purified, he's been refined, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him suitable li ashrafi maratib al-ubudiyah. Right? The greatest of levels and positions that one can reach, and that is what? Servitude, ubudiyah. وَأَرْفَعِ الثَّوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَهُوَ رُؤْيَتُهُ وَقُرْبُهُ. And this person, my brothers and my sisters, will be rewarded with the highest form of reward. And you know what that is? To see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be close with Him. Right? Like I said, my brothers and my sisters, before, every single one of us is trying to get to where? Al-Jannah. And we want to be able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible state, right? I sometimes tell brothers whose sins become exposed into the public, you'd rather be exposed now than to meet Allah azza wa jal with a single sin, right? One sin to meet Allah azza wa jal, I don't think my brothers and my sisters, we would want that. So you are now tested and examined. You go through these hardships. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he made him lose 6 out of his 7 children? Did you guys know that? He lost 6 out of his 7 children. Right? He was born and his father wasn't alive. Right? And then his mother passed away. And then his grandfather passed away. And he lived with his uncle, my brothers and my sisters. All of that before he's even reached the age of adolescence. SubhanAllah. Right? That brings me, my brothers and my sisters, onto a very, very powerful point of Ibn al-Qayyim. مَا كَسَرَ اللَّهُ عَبْدَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا لِيَجْبُرَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? When he causes you to go through these hardships and these difficulties and these trials, right? You might break, you might snap, but he only does that, my brothers and my sisters, so you can come back up stronger. There are people that go through hardships, my brothers and my sisters, and they what? They weather the storm. And then later on, when it happens again, right? Not a big issue. Small work, they call it. Been through it before, and now he's in a better position to be able to deal with it. Right? Become bulletproof, sah? Test makes you like that, but in a different sense. وَلَا مَنَعُهُ إِلَّا لِيُعْطِيَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't prevent you from something or doesn't take something away from you except so He can give you that which is better. Look at it like that. And I gave you guys some examples earlier. وَلَا ابْتَلَاهُ بِجَفَاءِ النَّاسِ إِلَّا لِيَرُدَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. And sometimes he may cause the people around you to forsake you, right? They're very, right, distant from you. All of a sudden now they're moving away so that you can return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're in a position, my brothers and my sisters, where nobody can do anything from you, you'll be left with no option except to directly return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. In cases like this, go directly to Him. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, my brothers and my sisters, and this may surprise you, he says, right, al-masa'ibu ni'mah. You know, the calamities that you go through, they are indeed a blessing. Right? Please repeat this after me, because I don't want you guys to ever forget this. Al-masa'ibu ni'mah, which means calamities are a blessing. Calamities are a blessing. Don't ever forget this, my brothers and my sisters. Again, it's how you look at these hardships and these difficulties that you may experience. Tweaking that a little, and you will feel so much more better. You will get on with your day in a positive way. He says the calamities that you go through are indeed a blessing. Why? لِأَنَّهَا مُكَفِّرَاتٌ لِلذُّنُوبِ. Because it expiates your sins. Right? These calamities and these hardships that we go through, it's expiating one's sins. Even the thorn, my brothers and my sisters, as the Messenger ﷺ mentioned, huh? That you are hurt by. You're walking in the forest, these thorns that prickle at you. Right? Expiating your sins. Right? وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى الصَّبَرِ فَيُثَابُ عَلَيْهَا. It invites you to be patient. Right? And patience, my brothers and my sisters, is one of these set few sins that have been mentioned in our Sharia that hasn't been limited to a particular reward. It's been left open. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرًا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأُوسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبَرِ. You haven't been gifted with anything that is more greater for you than what? Than patience. Right? To be patient is not an easy thing. Right? But it comes with rewards that hasn't been limited to anything. Like, you know, when you do certain acts of worship, if you do this, you get this. Huh? And if you do this, you get that. But when it comes to patience, it's not been limited to anything. Right? Because of how difficult it is. And the more difficult something is, the greater the reward, my brothers and my sisters. It says, وَتَقْتَضِي الْإِنَابَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالذُّلَّ لَهُ. And what it leads to, my brothers and my sisters, as we already mentioned, for you to turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal and to humble yourselves in front of Him. وَالْإِعْرَاضَ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكِ مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. And turning away from the creation. This is my favorite part of the topic of calamities and tests and tribulations. Right? You're left in a position, nobody can do anything for you. You are left with no option to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of humility. You break down in front of Him and you utter these words, Ya Allah, You're the only one that can help me in this situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. And when you look at the creation, my brothers and my sisters, it's only a matter of time before they grow sick and tired of you complaining to them. Khalas man, get over it. Right? This guy's always complaining. That's how the creation is. Or when you keep asking them, Khalas, I gave it to you the first time. This is how they respond. But Allah loves for you to constantly go back to Him. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. As the Messenger ﷺ told us, you don't ask Allah, He becomes angry. That's the difference, my brothers and my sisters. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, my brothers and my sisters, he also says, and I really, really like this one. He says, لَوْلَا مِحَنُ الدُّنْيَا وَمَصَائِبُهَا لَأَصَابَ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ أَدْوَاءِ الْكِبْرِ وَالْعُجْبِ وَالْفَرْعَنَةِ وَقَسْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. If it wasn't for these calamities and these hardships that you are struck with, right? He says, the abd, this human being, he would become afflicted with arrogance and self-amazement. وَالْفَرْعَنَا. He will also start picking up فِرْعَوْنِ. We all know Pharaoh, right? From the qista of Musa, these kind of characteristics of Fir'aun. And your heart begins to start hardening. Right. مَا هُوَ سَبَبُ هَلَاكِهِ عَاجِلًا وَآجِلًا. Which will lead to his destruction, my beloved brothers and sisters. You know how many a time, my brothers and my sisters, here he's saying, right? If it wasn't for these calamities, one would be struck with arrogance. How many a time have I seen someone, my brothers and my sisters, with a lot of money, the way he's speaking to others, the way he's engaging with them, the way he looks down at them, and then he's struck with a calamity, left with nothing. Wallah, his attitude and his behavior before the people will change. I remember there was a situation, subhanAllah, right? I don't think in a very long time I felt as disgusted as I did in that sitting. Every time this guy opened his mouth, I couldn't stand it. And he had a lot of money, right? And then he was struck with some hardship, difficulty. He gave all of his money to another guy, invested it in some sort of Ponzi scheme. Later on, this same individual, my brothers and my sisters, you know what he sent me? A GoFundMe page. Please, can you send it around? And I'm in a difficult state. Right? So much more time that he's giving you now. Huh? Responding back to the messages so much more quicker than once upon a time. This is what calamities can do to an individual. It brings you back down to earth. Because I don't think anyone here wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a single sin. Right? As I already mentioned, let alone al-kibir, arrogance. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. If you have a mustard grain of arrogance in your heart, you will not enter into al-jannah, the ultimate paradise that we're all trying to reach. Right. And then he says, فمن رحمة أرحم الراحمين أن يتفقده في الأحيان بأنواع من أدوية المصائب تكون حمية له من هذه الأدواء. And then he says, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, right? This is key here. Out of all the names that Ibn Taymiyyah could have used, he used the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Arhamir Rahimeen. Or the sifa, the attribute, the most merciful of those who show mercy. Huh? Yes. Allah allows this to take place because Allah is being merciful to him. But you don't seem to be understanding. It is not falling into perspective for you because you don't understand Allah and how he operates. Right? This is actually what is best for him at this moment in time. He says, from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ways that Allah shows mercy to this individual is that he causes him at times to go through these calamities and hardships so that he can remain in check. Right? Keeps his feet on the ground. So that he can protect him from all of the aforementioned. And last but not least, my brothers and my sisters, on this point. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says, I quote Ibn al-Qayyim a lot, huh? Why is that? Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, one of the most learned and educated when it comes to some of these issues was Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, from amongst the classical scholars. He has a whole kitab, Iddatu al-Sabirin wa Dhakhiratu al-Shakirin, right? Where he talks about patience and being thankful, right? And how one half is patient and the other half what is being thankful. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi also says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يُدَاوِ عِبَادَهُ بِأَدْوِيَةِ الْمِحَنِ وَالْإِبْتِلَاءِ لَطَغَوْا وَبَغَوْا وَعَتَوْا وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِذَا أَرَادَ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا سَقَاهُ دَوَاءً مِنَ الْإِبْتِلَاءِ وَالْإِمْتِحَانِ عَلَى قَدْرِ حَالِهِ يَسْتَغْفِرُ مِنَ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ حَتَّى إِذَا هَذَّبَهُ وَنَقَّاهُ وَصَفَّاهُ أَهَلَهُ لِأَشْرَفِ الْمَرَاتِبِ. Very similar to what we mentioned, my brothers and my sisters. The second part of this lecture, my brothers and my sisters, I want to mention, inshallah ta'ala, the actions of a few can affect many. The actions of a few can affect many. The actions of a few can affect many. Right? If we look at the Battle of Uhud, my brothers and my sisters, Quraysh, the disbelievers, they wanted revenge after what happened in the Battle of Badr. They wanted to win back the reputation as one of the most feared tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. A group of these Muhammadians, huh? These Bedouins defeated you. This is what was spreading, within the Arabian Peninsula. They were small in number, right? And they were able to take you out. So they wanted to win back their reputation, right? And also to make their pathways back and forth to where they would trade and make money from, right? Safe again. Now they feared, right? After what happened, they may attack us and so on and so forth. Even though it was them that started, right? But they lost. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. Muslims, they were small in number, and even then they defeated them. Comes the battle of Uhud in the third year after Hijrah. Quraysh, my brothers and my sisters, and the mushriks, they approached Medina. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his intel, received this information and then readied his army. They were approximately 1,000 soldiers that were headed towards the battlefield. A third of them, my brothers and my sisters, they ended up leaving the Muslims as they were on their way to the battlefield. Who influenced this, my brothers and my sisters? Does anyone know? Why did a third? They're already going to be what? Short in number. But then a third completely what? Turns their backs and returns back to their homes. Does anyone know what was the reason of that? Ahsant. What's your name? Hamza. Jazakallah khair, Hamza. May Allah bless you. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Right? Began to cause doubt and spread confusion within the ranks of the Muslims. A third ended up leaving with him. And then the Muslims, upon approaching the battlefield, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he split his army into two. 50 of them, he placed them on the mountain called Jabal Rumah. Right? Anyone on top of this mountain can see that which is happening on the battlefield. 50 of them, and placed Abdullah ibn Jubayr in charge of them. And told them, no matter what happens, don't come off this mountain. Even if you see, subhanAllah, eagles, you know eagles? Snatching the soldiers off the ground, don't come off. Right? The battle started, my brothers and my sisters. And the mushriks began to run. Those who are on this mountain, my brothers and my sisters, that were commanded, don't get off no matter what happens, they began to argue amongst themselves. And this is what is mentioned in Surah Al Imran. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Right? They began to argue amongst themselves. خلاص! Right? It's finished! Al-Ghanim, there's the war booty. Let's go. Right? They began to dispute amongst themselves. Some of them began charging towards the war booty. They went against the commandment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This resulted, my brothers and my sisters, in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's helmet being crushed, his face being gashed, and his tooth being broken. Right? Doubts began to spread within the ranks of the Muslims, and rumors that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been killed. And it really shook the Muslims. Subhanallah. Right? Khalid bin Walid, my brothers and my sisters, noticed that those Muslims who were on this mountain started running off. So what did he do? He went round and then began to hit the Muslims from the back. Right. وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah says, you disobeyed him after he showed you that which you love. Those on the battlefield, my brothers and my sisters, did they do anything wrong? Did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam do anything wrong? Right? No, he didn't. But because of what a set few, right, had committed, it ended up affecting everyone. Right? This is a very, very important point, my brothers and my sisters, to take into consideration. Right? It could be because of something that I do, right? Me as Abu Taymiyyah, Muslims on the other side of the world end up becoming affected. Right? This is why Islam, my brothers and my sisters, to keep us on our toes, teaches us to be self-critical, to do things the right way, my brothers and my sisters. Right? This doesn't mean that we uplift the blame from oppressors. La abadan. But things like this, my brothers and my sisters, when they unfold right before your eyes, it should cause us to come back to our religion. Allah says in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَةً. Beware of this fitna. Right? This calamity that is not just exclusive, right, for the oppressors, the aggravators. When the calamity hits, it's not just going to hit them. Right? Because of what the oppressors do, innocent people may well have to suffer. It's mentioned in the Quran. وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Right. It led to Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, killed. Mus'ab ibn Umair, my brothers and my sisters, right, who was in his 20s, but the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose for him to be the flag bearer. You know the flag that you have to hold? When the war is taking place, this individual now being killed, who's holding the flag, is an indication that they've all but lost. Right? His right hand was struck. Subhanallah. And then he began to hold onto it with his left. And then his left hand was struck. And then he was holding it like this. As he's holding onto it, my brothers and my sisters, right? He is trying to eliminate all of these rumors that are being spread about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having been killed. Right? So that they can continue to remain inspired to do the right thing. Right. So keep this in mind, my brothers and my sisters. Our hands have been tied. Right. There's only so much that we can do for our brothers and sisters. The best thing that we can do now, my brothers and my sisters, as we are approaching the ends of times. We love this topic, huh? It gets us excited. When craziness hits the fan, my brothers and my sisters, and the lines are drawn and the sides have been chosen, and we don't even know how to pray, what are we going to do, my brothers and my sisters? Right? The lines have been drawn and the sides have been chosen. What are you going to do as a Muslim? And we don't even know the basics of our religion. Right? We're running around committing haram with shalat. Right? And whatever other craziness that we are up to. Right? And last but not least, my brothers and my sisters, components that cause weakness. And there's a number of points, my brothers and my sisters, that will come under this, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then we are done. Is that right? Yeah. I call Sheikh Shafiq, Uncle Shafiq. Right? There is a story behind it. We were messaging each other for a long time. For some reason, I thought Sheikh Shafiq was very, very old in age, but you look at him, Allahumma barik yani. Right? Very young, Allahu Akbar. So some of the components, my brothers and my sisters, that contribute to the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. The first point I'm going to mention, my brothers and my sisters, is that which relates to sins and the spread of misguidance and not doing enough to counter it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says the following, my brothers and my sisters. كلما ضعف من يقوم بنور النبوة قوية البدعة. Right? Every time, my brothers and my sisters, those who call to Allah Azza wa Jal, right, become weak in spreading the prophetic tradition, you will see the opposite of that becoming widespread. Every single one of us, my brothers and my sisters, has a responsibility, right, to repel the evil and the misguidance that is being spread. In today's day and age, we have these modern day ideologies that is stripping Muslims of their Muslim identity. Agreed? Right? The universities have become breeding grounds for kufr, shirk, feminism, liberalism, this ism and schism, and of course, the rainbow team are extremely active. Right? Shoving what they believe down our throats, and we have no answers to repel these doubts that are penetrating and piercing into our hearts, my brothers and my sisters. And because one doesn't have the answers to the doubts that are being thrown in his direction, he begins to think about leaving the religion of Islam, or begins to question and object and contest the commandments and prohibitions in the Quran. Right? I always say this to young brothers and sisters at university, just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Right? I'll say that again. Sounds like something you put on Twitter, huh? Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ Above every individual that carries knowledge is someone who's more knowledgeable. Right? Anyone here doing engineering? Which year are you in?
Qualified engineer.
Now we need someone at university. You at university? First year. Do you know everything about engineering? If I ask you some questions about engineering, would you be able to answer everything? You wouldn't, right? Would it cross your mind now to perhaps leave your university course because you didn't have the answers to some of these questions that I would pose to you? That would be very dumb to do, right? Huh? Likewise, my brothers and my sisters, when it comes to Islam, you haven't gone out your way to learn about your religion, right? Why would you think about leaving it when you don't have the answers? Go and ask somebody. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah, he also says, فَلَمَّا ظَهَرَ التَّوْحِيدُ هَرَبَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ هَرَبَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ When Tawheed was established, the shayateen began to run away. وَبَطُلَتْ أَوْ قَلَّتْ It either was eliminated altogether or it began to reduce, to become less and less. But somebody has to go and teach the people, right? And if we don't know, my brothers and sisters, who's going to do that? Teaching the people about their monotheism, that which is most important to them, more than everything else. ثم إنها تظهر في المواضع التي يخفى فيها أثر التوحيد. You will see, my brothers and my sisters, the shayateen gravitating towards the places that lacks the monotheism, lacks Islamic faith. Right? When I say lacks tawheed, lacks Islamic faith, my brothers and my sisters, it could be that we are Muslims, but we don't know anything about our religion. Right? We barely practice. Right? Salah is not being established. Doing what Allah told us to do is not being carried out. We are what? Indulged in sins. Engraved in it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi also says, إِذَا انْقَطَعَ عَنِ النَّاسِ نُورُ النُّبُوَّةِ وَقَعُوا فِي الْفِتَنِ وَحَدَثَتِ الْبِدَعُ وَالْفُجُورُ وَوَقَعَ الشَّرُّ بَيْنَهُمْ He says, when the people now become disconnected from the prophetic tradition, right? The light of prophecy. They've become distant from it. He says the following will happen. Fitan. Right? Temptations. Problems. Innovations will become widespread. Wal fujur, wretchedness. And then evil begins to start happening between them. They will start fighting with one another. Allahu Akbar. Also, my brothers and my sisters, Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned some very daring realities, wallah. He says, فَلَمَّا ظَهَرَ فِي الشَّامِ وَمِصْرِ وَالْجَزِيرَةِ الْإِلْحَادُ وَالْبِدَعِ سُلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ ولما اقاموا ما اقاموه من الاسلام وقهر الملحدين والمبتدعين نصرهم الله على الكفار By the way, like I said, he passed away over 700 years ago. But when he speaks, subhanAllah, at times you think he is living amongst us because of what? Right? How profound some of his advices were. Right? So he doesn't have a horse in the race. He talks about Sham. Right? He says, when in Sham, Egypt, the Jazeera, the Arabian Peninsula, Ilhad, rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, became prominent and widespread, and innovations became prevalent, right? The kuffar eventually ended up overpowering them. And then he says, when they began to establish Islam, wa qahri al-mulhideen, right? And debunking, right? And rebuking the doubts of these mulhids, these people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the innovators, nasarahum Allah al-kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory over the disbelievers. He also says something else, my brothers and my sisters, that is extremely profound. وَكَذَلِكَ لَمَّا كَانَ أَهْلُ الْمَشْرِقِ قَائِمِينَ بِالْإِسْلَامِ كَانُوا مَنْصُورِينَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ التُّرْكِ وَالْهِنْدِ وَالصِّينِ. When the people or the Muslims of the East, they established Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory over who? The mushriks from amongst the Turks, the Hind, the Indians, and also the Chinese. Put that into perspective, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Some of the greatest of enemies now against Al-Islam are from where? Right? وَالْهِنْدِ وَالصِّينِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ فَلَمَّا ظَهَرَ مِنْهُمْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنَ الْبِدْعِ وَالْإِلْحَادِ وَالْفُجُورِ سُلَّةَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. What we already mentioned. When they started becoming very lax, committing haram, doing that which is wretched, innovative practices, this is when the kuffar were able to overpower them. Also, Taqiyuddin ibn Taqiq al-Eid, he says, إِنَّمَا اسْتَوْلَتِ التَّتَارِ عَلَى بِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ لِظُهُورِ الْفَلْسَفَةِ فِي مُضَعْفِ الشَّرِيعَةِ. Someone else now. Right. He says, when the Tataris, right, overpowered or took over the eastern lands of the Muslims, this was because of philosophy becoming widespread. The people's aqaid, the belief systems began to change. And also because they became weak in the Sharia. Right? The second point, I'm nearly done, my brothers and my sisters, huh? I'm nearly done. The second point, my brothers and my sisters, is so the first point was what? What was the first point? When we stop doing the right thing, my brothers and my sisters, calling to that which is correct, right? In rebuking and clarifying a lot of these doubts, that is stripping the youngsters today from their Muslim identity. All of these isms, that is what? Creeping into Muslim homes, right? Someone may be dressed in an Islamic manner, but is uttering that which is borderline Islam because of these isms and schisms that you have today. If we don't have those that are going to take this initiative of teaching the people, and of course that requires knowledge, this will become more and more and more widespread. Right? And it shouldn't surprise us when children come home with all of these weird ideologies that they picked up from universities. The second point, my brothers and my sisters, sins in general, like ma'asi, temptations. And here are some very heart-piercing statements of Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn al-Qayyim, who passed away in the year 751, he says, وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ تَمْكِينَ النِّسَاءِ مِنْ اِخْتِلَاطِهِنَّ بِالرِّجَالِ أَصْلُ كُلِّ بَلِيَّةٍ وَشَرٍ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ نُزُولِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ الْعَامَّةِ. He says, without a shadow of a doubt, allowing men or women to mix with the opposite gender, it is the base or the root cause for all evil. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ نُزُولِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ الْعَامَةِ. And it's from the greatest of causes that bring about punishments that will end up affecting everybody. Right. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi also says, مَا ظَهَرَتِ الْمَعَازِفُ وَالْآلَاتُ اللَّهُ فِي قَوْمٍ وَفَشَتْ فِيهِمْ وَاشْتَغَلُوا بِهَا إِلَّا سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَدُوُ وَبُلُوا بِالْقَحْتِ وَالْجَدِّ وَوُلَاتِ السُّوءِ. Subhanallah. He says, musical instruments that began to spread amongst a people, right? And they became busy with it, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, sent down upon them the enemies. And they were struck with famines and droughts and rulers and people of authority that were evil. Right? You may think to yourself, this is perhaps maybe a topic, you know, that, you know, only concerns people on a societal level, my brothers and my sisters. Every single household has a leader. And there are people, right, that come under him. He, if he is not doing, my brothers and my sisters, what is right, do not expect those that come under you to be living a life of prospering and success. Right? Everyone has a role to play. To do that which is required of him, to save himself and his family. You have your own little kingdoms in your homes. Right? Also Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, my brothers and my sisters, he says, فَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ الْمَوْتِ الْعَامِ كَثْرَةُ الزِّنَا. From the greatest of causes that brings about these punishments that ends up affecting everyone. Or it could even contribute or lead to them dying. Like, you know, these sicknesses that we had, right? There's a different perspective to it. The corona that gets sent, that is the cause of so many people dying. But he's speaking about that which he has witnessed and experienced or read on. He says, كَثَرَةُ zina, right? Zina becoming so widespread. It becomes a norm. Expect that to take place. Sicknesses that will end up coming your way. بِسَبَبِ تَمْكِينِ النِّسَاءِ مِنْ اِخْتِلَاطِهِنَّ بِرِجَالِ. And that is because you allowed, right, women to free mix with men. وَالْمَشِّ بَيْنَهُمْ مُتَبَرِّجَاتٍ مُتَجَمِّلَاتٍ. And allowing the women to walk within society, beautified, displaying themselves and so on and so forth. And then he says, وَلَوْ عَلِمَ أَوْلِيَاءُ الْأَمْرِ مَا فِي ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَسَادِ الدُّنْيَا وَالرَّعِيَّةِ قَبْلَ الدِّينِ لَكَانُوا أَشَدَّ شَيْءٍ مَنْعًا لِذَلِكَ. He says, if only the rulers knew how much this would corrupt your dunya and it will affect your flock, meaning your civilians that come under you, right? This is all before the issues of the religion. Put the religion to the side. How much it would end up affecting your dunya and the people that come under you, right? لَكَانُوا أَشَدَّ شَيْءٍ مَنْ عَنِّ ذَلِكَ. They would have really gone out their way to prevent this. Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ بِهَلَاكِهَا. If zina now becomes widespread in a locality, Allah Azza will give the permission for this place to be destroyed. And the statements, my brothers and my sisters, are many. Last but not least, that comes under this third point, which is the components that cause weakness. He says, my brothers and my sisters, lack of unity and resistance. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he comments on one of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which in 5 seconds, my brothers and my sisters, teaches us what the solution for the Muslim ummah is. And everyone has a role to play, right? From those who run society till the normal civilian that you see walking around on the road. Everyone has a role to play. Right? Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَةِ. Once you start dealing with riba. Riba, my brothers and my sisters, right? Which type of sin is it? Where can we categorize it as? Major, minor, or is it disbelief? This is the last thing I'm going to mention, inshallah, then we're done, brothers. I'm very happy that I managed to cover all of this. Huh? Major or minor? Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, we've heard of him, right? One of the 4 great Imams of Fiqh. Number 1, Imam Abu Hanifa. Number 2, Imam Malik. Number 3, Imam Shafi'i. Number 4, Imam Ahmed. Imam Malik, you know what he said, my brothers and my sisters? Inni tasaffahtu kitab Allahi wa sunnata nabiyihi. I went through the whole Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, turned its pages one after the other. وَلَمْ أَرَ شَيْئًا أَشَرْ مِنَ الرِّبَى. I didn't find anything that is more greater in sin and more grave than what? Than al-riba. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced war against this type of individual who engages in al-riba. How do you translate al-riba? What does riba mean? Is that it? I don't agree. Because interest doesn't really give it its justice. Riba comes in different types and forms. This is just one aspect or one part of a riba. You have riba al-duyun, you also have what? Riba al-buyu'. The riba that runs in duyun, meaning the debts. And then you have what? That which is in buying and selling, transactions. Types of riba. So here Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us about a type of riba called al-'ina. Once you start having these riba-based transactions and dealings. وَأَخَدْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ And you begin to chase after the tails of cows. وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ And you become satisfied with your land. Oh, I've got this house and I've got this land and I've got that. Huh? And then he says, وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ And you leave of al-jihad. I have to put a disclaimer here, my brothers and my sisters, unfortunately, just to make it very, very clear, I'm not here recruiting for ISIS. But at the same time, I'm not going to bite my tongue and be apologetic with regards to al-jihad, which is a concept in our religion, resistance, if you want to call it that. Right? Just in case we have someone here that works for Channel 4, wants to cut out what I'm saying, right? And is going to spread it on X tomorrow. It is part of our religion. And I'm not going to be apologetic about it. It comes with rules, regulations, and conditions. But it's a concept that is thabit. Right? Our sharia is fixed. He then says, if you do all of the following, سَلَّطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَا يَنْزِهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجُعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ Allah Azza wa Jalla will send down upon you humiliation. He will not remove this until you come back to your religion. Right? Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi says, فَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْجِهَادَ عَذَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا بِالذُّلِّ وَغَيْرِهِ Whoever leaves of the resistance, Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish him with a painful punishment of him being humiliated. وَنَزَعَ الْأَمْرَ مِنْهُ فَأَعْطَاهُ لِغَيْرِهِ He will strip him of his authority and he will give it to somebody else. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ لِمَنْ ذَبَّ عَنْهُ This religion belongs to those who protect it, who defend it. وَمَتَى جَاهَدَتِ الْأُمَّةِ عَدُوَّهَا أَلَّفَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهَا And when the ummah now is resisting against the enemy, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring their hearts together. وَإِن تَرَكَتِ الْجِهَادَ شُغِلَ بَعْضُهَا بِبَعْضٍ And when they leave it off, my brothers and my sisters, they will end up becoming preoccupied with one another. They will end up becoming what? Preoccupied with one another. To conclude, my brothers and my sisters, he also says, فَإِذَا تَرَكَ النَّاسُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ When the people now leave off the resistance for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَقَدْ يَبْتَلِيهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ يُوقَعَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَدَاوَةِ حَتَّى تَقَعَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْفِتْنَةِ كَمَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعِ You will see them, my brothers and my sisters, right, being tested with hating and having animosity towards one another. As you see today, he's saying this 700 years ago. As you see today, them being what? Split up from one another. Having animosity and hatred towards one another. 700 years ago, he's saying this. What about now, guys? فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ إِذَا اشْتَغَلُوا بِالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَجَعَلَ بَأْسَهُمْ عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوِّهِمْ And when they now become busy with the resistance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring their hearts together, right? And He will place the ba's, humiliation within the ranks of the enemy and the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَنْفَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عَذَّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ يُلْبِسَهُمْ شِيعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ This is what will happen, my brothers and my sisters. Now everything that I mentioned, my brothers and my sisters, put it into perspective. Right? And you will see whether the worldview that you have is really in line with our Islamic values and morals. Everything that I mentioned that I bring from my own self. Can you bear witness, please? Did I bring anything from my own self? No, I didn't. I just quoted what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Right? And He told us in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةَ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Right? Allah has promised those who come with righteous deeds, right? And they come with Iman, He will give them authority on the earth. We have to do the right thing. Right? We are reaching the ends of times. You guys are reading the news. The lines are being drawn and sides are being chosen. Right? The one that's going to lose out in all of this, my brothers and my sisters, is the one who doesn't get his act together. Right? Like I said before, our hands have been tied. There's only so much that we can do. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of you for taking time out on your Sunday afternoon. And sitting in front of this miskeen, right? This poor person, even though you may have had better things to do, right? جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم وأحسن الله إليكم. And for the last time, I'm going to say this. I'm not here to incite violence, which I said this time and time again. صح. I'm not a hate preacher, right? I'm a peaceful imam. Just hoping to inspire the people to be proud of their religion and not to give in to these tactics that are used to strip us of our faith and our Muslim identity. Jazakum Allah khair. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll see you all soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.